Just after six for a Tuesday morning. People are running around hectic in here in the radio station. I tell you what, I think the weather makes people go mad as the rain pours down hard. So Ash is off at the moment. Producer Gia is filling in as she walks back into the studio. Mate, what's going on?
Hey, man.
What are you doing?
Looking for a coffee. I'm struggling today.
The show's on air.
Yeah, we are now.
Been on for 30 seconds. Where have you been?
Running around.
How's that rain? I think if we bring down this music, we can actually hear the rain in the studios here. That's how heavy it is at the moment. Can you hear it? Don't do the sound effect. Just wait to see if it happens. Hang on. I can hear that.
I can hear that
too. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can fully hear that.
I don't know if anyone can hear that through the radio, but it is coming down heavy on around Gosford at the moment. So here's what I do know about heavy rain. With the commute to Sydney.
Oh, yuck.
Take it easy. But don't drive like a...
hooligan.
A fool. No, but some people go, I don't want to say too careful, but you know some people in the rain, you can almost be...
Overly cautious,
yep. Isn't good either.
Because then people will, like, rear-end you when you're slamming
exactly,
your brakes on.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Just be sensible. I feel like
I'm not driving right now. Stop trying to lecture me.
For a second there, I felt like I don't have kids, but I stepped into dad zone. I was like giving some advice to people on the roads. Hey, great show we got lined up for you today for a Tuesday, of course. Bit of fun, just to brighten up your morning, whatever. But how'd we go with getting someone else to do the questions?
For Smarter Than Who,
yeah.
I couldn't get anyone to do them today, but I'm going to campaign for tomorrow. So you're going to have to play today. Whoever calls in on 13, 12, 16 right now will have to go up against Gaundy.
What do you mean you couldn't get anyone else to do them? You asked someone and they went, nah, too busy, not doing it. Not doing it for you.
Five quiz questions,
Come on. Can't even help out
a little bit of a control freak too, so like... If you want it done right, you do it yourself.
You're scared someone's going to beat you in this.
I don't think I would know any of the answers.
When I suggested it, you went, oh, what, me? Me play? 13, 12, 16, if you want to double to see Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. It's a preview screening, so you get to see this before anyone else. It's on tonight. They're back bigger and more terrifying than ever. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, Hoyts in Arena. June 21 is when it's out, but you can get your tickets right now.
Smarter than who?
Gia, as I like to be known.
Too scared to answer questions, Gia, as she's here this morning. But Nick's a green point. He's keen to play. You're stuck with me, taking me on this morning. Nick, how are you, man?
Yeah, good, good.
How's that weather for you this morning? Heavy rain?
Yeah, it's definitely coming down.
Yeah.
Can't hear it. You could hear it in the studio here, but you can't really hear it through Nick's phone line.
You're commuting this morning, mate?
I'm sitting in my car at the moment and it's starting to back off.
Okay. That's good news. Good news. All right, well, it is best of five here. Tickets to Jurassic World for the preview screening, and Gia has the questions. Names are buzzers. Get one wrong, other one gets a point.
Ready for this?
No worries.
Okay, question number one. How long is an eon in geology? A trillion years or a billion years?
Nick.
Go for it, Nick.
Yeah, a billion?
Correct.
Well done.
Question number two. In a game of cricket, which bird name means scoring no runs?
Gaundy, a duck. Yes.
Correct.
I got in.
One apiece.
Too quick.
Question number three.
I scored a few in my time. That's how I know. All right.
True or false? 45 is a prime number.
Nick.
Go, Nick.
False.
Correct.
Well done. Did you actually know that, or was that just 50-50, mate?
I knew that one.
You knew that one? Okay.
He's got his maths and his science down pat. I love it. Okay, question number four. How many valves does a trumpet have?
How many what? Sorry, valves.
Nick.
Nick's in.
Three.
Yes.
Oh, you know your trumpets too, mate. Well done. You won the game. That's it. Simple as that.
He's smarter than Gaundy.
More arse than class.
More what? What did you say?
More arse than class.
More arse than class. That's the way to live, mate. Hey, tickets to go see Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. Looks like a great movie. They're back bigger and more terrifying than ever. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, Hoyts in Arena, June 21. You can get your tickets to see that right now. Our preview screening's on tonight. If you've got tickets to that, make sure you rock up. It is always a good one.
Rain, hail or shine.
The movie goes ahead, so it's going to be a great one tonight.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard, CFM.
Here at CFM. I've got to hear this invention that you've got. I've got to hear what you've come up with overnight. I love an invention.
I did a bit of grocery shopping yesterday, Arvo, and it just sparked in my head.
Yep.
So do you usually go grocery shopping with Jamie?
No, because I'm someone, I like to really, for some reason, I find it real relaxing and I walk through all the aisles. She's very in and out.
Oh, really? Yeah. I would have thought it would be the other way around because she's very into like health foods and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I like to just walk through and as I see something, I go, oh, that's nice. I'll grab that, you know.
Yes.
Be inspired by what I see in the aisle. She okay. knows what she wants.
Okay.
Yeah, when she goes in. Yeah.
I'm very similar. I like to just browse and wander around and I do the grocery shopping on my own, obviously, single girl, in case it wasn't obvious. And I put my headphones in. I always have a bit of music pumping while I'm doing the aisles, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My phone battery is completely shot.
Yeah.
So usually I get like halfway through the aisles and it dies.
Okay.
And I've lost all my vibe of my shopping trip. So my thought is of an amazing, you know the shopping trolleys, how they've put the little coffee cup holder?
Yeah.
And they're the big, thick ones.
That was amazing when they did that.
Great
I was like,
idea.
Oh. And they also started doing cafes in
inside
the shopping centres as well. I haven't seen them for a while, but they kind of started doing that, yeah.
Yeah, well, my amazing invention is that if they add to the big, thick bit where the coffee cup thing is,
yep.
a little phone charger.
A phone charger.
A little dock that you can put your phone into, and then as you wheel around, the wheel power...
Okay.
Charges your phone.
Yes, I see this.
You're not convinced.
Oh, doesn't this highlight the addiction to our mobile phones? You can't even go shopping without being on your mobile phone these days.
I don't want to have to interact with other people. That's why I put the headphones on and just get in the zone.
What about if you take it to the next level? Like, you know when you go to the gym and you see those people on the treadmill and they're watching TV and they're not actually kind of...
Actually really
doing
exercising.
...doing anything because they're watching TV. What about the trolley has like a little mini screen and you can watch like MTV or you can watch...
If they could dock your phone and it would connect to a Wi-Fi system and
bad.
You could watch Netflix, that would also be awesome. But
that's
I think a charging is possible because the wheel motion could be linked up. That's easy done.
Okay.
Whereas Wi-Fi is not as easily accessible.
I don't mind that. That is actually possible. Because when you told me you had an invention, I thought, gee, an invention?
And usually inventions are out there. They're weird. They're wacky. This is doable.
Yeah.
I'm convinced.
Okay, well, mark this in your audio files, all right? So 6:26 on Tuesday the 9th of June, you came up with this idea. Because
nobody steal it.
I reckon Woolies and Coles could 100% take it from you and you don't have the money they've got to take it to court. So,
and I definitely haven't copyrighted or anything before just putting it out there on the radio now.
No, this is it. This is your copyright right now, okay?
Nice.
So we can use this audio in court if Coles or Woolies ever take your idea and steal it. Yeah,
great. I'll make more money that way than through the invention.
I think they will make the money, not you, from the invention, mate.
Let's go. Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard. CFM.
13 12 16 is our number. Looking for the blokes to call the show this morning. How did you go about talking to the dad, right? So if you're about to get married, how did you go about asking the question of the dad? That's the respectable thing to do, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, that's the traditional thing to do. Do people still do it in this day and age, though?
I say yes. I don't think you can ask someone to marry you without speaking to the dad first. It's pretty rude. It's still pretty rude.
It's a bit archaic, though. It's all
no,
about,
it's
like,
not.
The woman's owned by the dad,
no,
so you've got to ask the dad for permission.
It is not about... It's respect. It's out of respect.
Why? Because they own the daughter?
No, they don't own the daughter, but it's their daughter. I still think it's nice.
No, I do think
I
it's
think
nice.
Nice.
I'm making out like it's
you sound like
dated,
a bitter, single...
Great. Well, that's what Girl. I am, so...
Now, the reason we bring this up, and we do have tickets to the Hunter Valley Wine Festival for the blokes. How'd you go about it? Was it awkward? Did you smash it out of the park? We want to hear from you. But Hunter Valley Wine Festival tickets for your calls this morning. Now, Thomas Markle, he's the dad of Meghan Markle from Harry and
the
Meghan.
The one that
yeah.
didn't go to the wedding.
Yeah, he had the heart attack, so he couldn't go to the wedding, but he's now done an interview. He's done a sit-down interview. I'm a bit over the royal wedding, to be honest, but kind of interested in what the dad has to say because of all the controversy that kind of surrounded it. The reporter wanted to know if they're going to have kids anytime soon.
Has Meghan talked about wanting children?
She's wanted children for a long time, yes. When she met Harry and she spoke about how much she loves him, there's got to be a child in the making somewhere soon.
So there's a bombshell. Daily Mail will run with that.
I was going to say. Oh, yeah, maybe, potentially soon, yeah.
But he also talks about Prince Harry asking him as well to marry Meghan Markle.
Harry got on the phone with Meghan. They called me together. And Harry asked for her hand over the phone. And I said, you're a gentleman. promise me you'll never raise your hand against my daughter, and of course I give you my permission.
Over the phone?
Over the phone.
Hey, you're a royal. Fly and come see him in person.
Oh, you're not happy with it being over the phone?
Nah, I think that's tacky.
Okay. See, he said you're a gentleman for asking. I think that's what it's about, being a gentleman, respectful, not disrespectful, but I did mine over the phone.
Oh, and I've just bagged out doing it over the phone.
Well, I did
it on
FaceTime with Jamie's dad. I did it on FaceTime.
And where was Jamie's dad and where were you? Like, were you far away or around the corner? Hey, mate.
I'm too scared to ask you in person. I was actually here on the coast, obviously, and he lives in Perth. So I tried to orchestrate some kind of flight and whatever, but I couldn't get myself there. So I had to do it over FaceTime. And Jamie's mum happened to be here at the same time and sister. So Jamie was at work. I broke the news to the guys that I wanted to ask her, and then I got, so I had Jamie's mum sitting with me, we got Mitch, Jamie's dad, on FaceTime, and it's a nerve-wracking moment, and I could see when I asked him, it was like this big life moment that he sort of knew was going to come one day, but he was like, oh my God, someone's actually asking if they can marry his first daughter.
Wow. Did you plan like a speech or anything particular?
I was nervous and I just said, hey, it was a bumbling mess. I've got something to ask you. I said, I want to see, can I marry Jamie?
Oh my God, if I was the dad and you asked like that, I'd be like, no.
He said no.
Did he really? Yeah,
he goes, nah. And left it hanging for like what felt like a minute. It was probably just a few seconds. And he said, nah, it's all right. Yeah, go for it.
Oh my God. So mean.
God, thanks, mate. Thanks for putting me through that.
You get what you give. It's because you're such a jokester. Yeah, I know. I'm going to have some fun with him.
He's reminded me of it ever since. A couple of calls coming through here. 13, 12, 16, how you went about it. And also these tickets to Hunter Valley Wine Festival. The annual Hunter Valley Wine and Food Festival. It returns this May and June.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
So we got these tickets this week to the Hunter Valley Wine Festival. The annual Hunter Valley Wine and Food Festival returns this May and June, showcasing the region's diverse wine and food culture. Tickets at huntervalleywinefestival.com. Now, this is for the best caller here this morning, because Thomas Markle's gone and done an interview. Meghan Markle's dad, off the back of the wedding, he couldn't go because he had a heart attack. Crap
excuse.
Well, there was a lot of talk whether it was real or not. He just didn't want to embarrass his daughter anymore.
Oh,
so he didn't
one minute he was going, and then he wasn't going, and then he was going, and then he wasn't. Like, if it was actually a health condition, you'd know if you were going or not going.
Yeah, maybe the stress got to him and he couldn't go. But he's done an interview and he's talked about how Prince Harry asked for Meghan's hand in marriage.
Harry got on the phone with Meghan. They called me together, and Harry asked for her hand over the phone. And I said, you're a gentleman. Promise me you'll never raise your hand against my daughter. And, of course, I give you my permission.
It's a nerve-wracking moment, even for Prince Harry, I reckon.
I think that's kind of a weird thing, like, promise you never hold a hand against...
No, he said never raise a hand.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Against my daughter.
But, like, has he ever been like that before? Why would that be the first thing that comes to brain?
I don't know. Maybe he just thinks that's the worst thing that could possibly happen. So he says, don't go with that. So let's go to Rebecca at San Remo on 13, 12, 16. Rebecca, you've got an interesting setup with your with your partner.
Yeah, good morning first, Gaundy and Gio. I was just, calling up because I proposed to my girlfriend. We've been together for 4 years now, but it was 2 years at the time, and I got down on one knee, made it really nice, asked her to marry me. But then after that, I actually asked for the permission of the parents.
So she did it reverse.
Oh, wow. Okay, so and did you reveal to the parents that you had already done it, or did you say it as if you were still yet to do it?
Yeah, well, she kind of like came in with the ring and told them about it, and then I took them outside, and then I was just like, hey, I just want to know if it's okay if I could have both of your permission to ask, to marry her, basically. And they were wrapped, and they said, yeah, of course, Beck, you're already part of the family, so.
What would have happened, though, if you'd already done it? She'd said yes, and then they were like, no, sorry.
I don't know. That would have been really awkward, though.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Fled the country and just got married somewhere overseas and never see the parents ever again. Let's go to Holly at Baddow Bay on 13, 12, 16. Morning, Holly. What happened with you, mate? Is this for your partner? I think Holly's gone on us. Let's burn Holly. Let's go to Peter at Berkeley Vale. Morning, Pete.
Morning, guys. How you going?
Good, man. What happened?
Oh, so what happened was my girlfriend at the time, we both went to her parents' house, And she stayed inside talking to her mum. I went outside to talk to her dad while he was cleaning the pool. And then I said to him, I said, look, I said, I love your daughter to bits and I want to ask for your hand in marriage. And he just looked at me and he paused and he goes, no, you can't. I'm like, oh, and he goes, of course you can. You're the best thing that's happened to her. And you hurt her and I will kill you pretty much sort of thing.
So kind of like Meghan Markle's dad.
Yeah, like Thomas Markle.
That's a standard thing
I was shocked when he said it, but he goes, that's the best thing. You're the best thing that's happened to her. He goes, how are you going to propose? I said, I don't know yet. I wanted to ask your permission first before I bought the ring.
Yep.
And he goes, how about you propose on the cruise we're going on in February? So that I did that. They took the ring on the boat and she said yes.
Oh, well done, mate.
He even helped him out to do the proposal
How's
too.
How's the dad orchestrating the proposal for you?
Yeah, they took the ring on the boat and hid it from my fiance for 3 days and then I popped a question on Mystery Island.
Congrats, man. You guys still going strong, still together?
Going strong, engagement party in July.
Oh, well done, man. June, July, so it's coming up soon. That is awesome. And
very good.
Maybe you guys can have a pre-honeymoon Hunter Valley Wine Festival. Tickets for the call this morning. The annual Hunter Valley Wine and Food Festival returns this May and June. Get your tickets through huntervalleywinefestival.com.
Bargain prices on computers, cameras, printers and more at Domain Computers West Gosford's half-yearly sale. 101.3 CFM. Goopla.
And if there's one man across Justin Bieber's love life, it is Dean McCarthy with all the latest this morning. Hello, Dean.
G'day, guys. Yes, I am 14 years older than him and just creepily across everyone he dates, kisses, where he goes. A bit weird, really, when you think about it. But Justin Bieber back with Hailey Baldwin. They have rekindled the romance, y'all. Now, this is kind of cool. They were seen kissing and making out in New York City. They briefly dated in the past and it appears that they're back on. I don't know, do you rehash? Is a rehash a thing?
I don't know. Hey, I feel like if you've done it and it hasn't worked, maybe it hasn't worked for a reason.
Well, listen to Gia, 23 years old, single, giving so bloody relationship advice like she knows.
Wow.
Jamie and I had a almost 2 year break and we got back together.
Did
so
oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I didn't date Selena Gomez in the middle of that though, so little bit different. But I think it can work again. Yeah. Not for Bieber though, not for Baldwin either, because Baldwin, she's had a link of a few different, like Shawn Mendes even, didn't they go out?
I think they did have a bit of a... Wasn't you just playing that song? Yeah, I think they did have a bit of a fling.
Yeah, they were at the Met Gala together recently and they looked all loved up. But people were like, no, they're just friends. Like,
no, they definitely... But, you know, Baldwin, Bieber, oh, mate, they'll stay together till they're old and grey. That'll be just...
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah, Hollywood couples do that, right?
Rock solid relationships. Hey, Game of Thrones, some sad news for Game of Thrones fans. Dean.
It says a Game of Thrones theme
song. It is, mate.
Amelia Clark wrapping up. She has taken to Instagram to say that this will be her final season. She said, it's been a trip, Game of Thrones. Thank you for the life. I never dreamed I'd be able to live, and the family I'll never stop missing. Last season it is. So I'm really sorry to be the bearer of that bad news. Because I don't know, can I go on without her? I guess so. I'll miss her. We'll all miss her.
She's the only reason I watch.
She's the Queen of Dragons. How different does she look when you see her outside that show when she's got the brunette hair? You wouldn't even think it's the same person. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. It's a transformation.
It's a transformation.
Really is.
Well, she is a legit superstar. I think she's going to go on and do massive movies. Does she have sort of, because she's from the UK, Dean, what's her mark like in Hollywood? What's that? Where does she sit in the Hollywood world?
That's a very, very good question. Doesn't really have much of a mark here, to be honest. She might, when she gets out of the Game of Thrones world, when she starts to kind of venture into different projects over here in Hollywood. Yeah, great question, but at the moment, not really. No, not really.
Sometimes you've got to break away from that big show that's holding you down, you know, what you're known for so well. So we'll see how that goes, but some sad news for Game of Thrones fans. Appreciate the update, Dean.
Get up with Gawndy and Ash Pollard, CFM.
It's been a while since we brought you a study.
Oh, yeah, love me a study.
How good's a study?
Oh, my God, have they done another study?
Oh, nothing better than a study.
It's time for another Gawndy and Ash Pollard study.
I love this one. This is what Aussies actually get up to when they're trying to look busy at work. And you can call through with yours on 13 12 16. How's your little nifty ways of trying to look busy when you're not actually busy?
I am so good at this. People always think that I'm, like, so busy and I'm running around like I'm crazy and I just make it look like I am so people don't bother me.
You don't get through me, mate. I know what's going on. Deliveroo for Business, they've conducted this study on what Aussies actually get up to during work meetings. So the numbers are interesting. Let me give you some of these stats, some of these figures. So they're saying on average you'll go to 8,864 work meetings in your lifetime.
I reckon that's not a lot.
You don't think so? 8,864.
Imagine all the meetings we go to.
It also says here only 43.9% of those meetings attended are considered to be actually worth the time.
I would agree with that. 100%. I love all those memes that say when another work meeting could have been summarised in an email and it's just someone rolling their eyes.
I'm looking
so
at
accurate.
Boss Yammo on this one. Oh, my God. He rolls out a spreadsheet like that goes for 92 pages.
Loves a good PowerPoint presentation.
PowerPoint, that's it. Wrap it up, mate. 73% turn up with a pen and pad just so they look busy and important. And then a third of those don't actually say one single word once they get to the meeting. I'm still trying to find out how people go about doing the dodgy. You're trying to look busy at work. They're saying instead of listening or verbally engaging, one in four of us are sitting there working out what they need from the grocer, from the supermarket after work.
That was me yesterday.
Was that you?
Yeah, I had to go grocery shopping and I was just ticking off a mental list in my head of, yeah, okay, I need to get some eggs, I need some bread. But then you just maintain eye contact but have the conversation in your head.
Oh, my tactic is, you know, every now and then just go, yeah. doesn't matter what it is, just go, yeah, I'd agree with that.
Okay, Loss, your tactic is sitting there watching the bloody MBL on an iPad and just doing the sliced glance.
I do have the iPad going and I'm watching a bit of NBA basketball, so it looks like I'm really concentrating on what we're looking at. 13% have actually fallen asleep.
How do you get away with that?
That's a decent one.
Do they have the glasses with the fake eyes on them?
If you've ever had a sneaky sleep at work, 13, 12, 16. Have I done that? Not here, obviously, but maybe when I worked at the movies. When I worked at the cinema, maybe I...
That's the perfect place for a work nap.
I think I might have gone in on an empty session and sort of laid down on the ground and
But in a work meeting, surely that's not in a meeting sense. That's just at work somewhere in general.
I don't know how you get away with that in a meeting.
I'm not sure.
And 7% of people flirt with colleagues.
Ooh.
Have you been flirting with anyone at work, Gia? I mean, you're the single one of the crew. Have you been flirting with anyone? Are you the 7% statistic?
I don't like to crap where I eat, for lack of better words. So, nah.
Come on, don't worry about it. Just take a big old crap all over the place and have a great time.
Let's go. Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard, CFM.
There's been a study done by Deliveroo for Business who have conducted the study on what Aussies actually do during work meetings. And there's 13% of people said they've actually fallen asleep. We've put it out there to see if you've ever had a little nap at work. I don't know how it could be done. I'd love to know. I've slept in the production booth here.
You have, because you were trying to think whether you'd done one before.
Yeah, but not during work time. So, like, I had...
Why were you here sleeping outside of work time?
Well, we had the big radio survey and we came out the number one show and I just had a real big night and had to be on air the next day. So Tyson's at Killarney Vale on 13, 12, 16. Tyson, you've managed to sneak in a sneaky nap at work, mate. How have you done it?
Yeah, well, on Smoko, it's just... We'll be eating lunch for an hour and, like, 15 minutes before, I'll just sneak off and try to find a nice quiet spot on site where it's not too loud, have a crash, and then before you know it, it's already, like, an hour past Smoko, and the boys are like, where are you? I'm just like, oh, I've been asleep, sorry, boys. And they're like, oh, mate, you got to get back into it.
I love it, mate. Well played on that.
An hour is a big nap.
Whereabouts on the site are you finding a nice quiet place? Like, what's your go-to when you're on the work site?
It's 5 stories high, so, like, right at the bottom there's a basement, real dark and stuff, so there's not much noise going on down there.
See, this is what workers are getting up to when they're building our houses.
Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard. CFM.
So we reported in the news yesterday, and this happened over the weekend, that there was a game between the entrance and Camwall at Pat Morley Oval, Baddow Bay, and it's been reported that a ref was punched in a bit of a biff. He was trying to get in there, break it up, and allegedly been punched in the back of the head.
Yeah, knocked unconscious.
Yeah, went to hospital, the whole deal. And we heard this yesterday and went... Wait, hang on a sec. Come on. Social sport on the coast, while it needs to be competitive, it needs to be fun as well. And, I mean, I've played local footy. Some blokes take it far too seriously.
Have you ever had a brawl in any of the matches you've been in? I mean, not involved in it because I know you as a person. You're not,
I'm not
a
much
punch
of a,
on kind of guy.
I'm not much of a brawler. I just don't have that in me. You know what I mean? I'm a bit of a, it might sound soft to some blokes to say, I'm a bit of a lover, not a fighter, if that makes sense.
Have you witnessed one though? Have you ever seen a brawl happen at a sporting match?
Yeah,
locally?
Some people just get too into it and, you know, the tackles are a little bit too hard. And I feel some of the guys maybe take their aggression of the week out in the game. Do you know what I mean?
Oh.
So maybe it builds up at work all week and then they get to this game and they feel like they can...
They get knocked on an ankle once and they just turn around and fire on.
And maybe they go a little bit too hard. We want to get this guy on though. Darren Sprod. Now, he's the CEO of Central Coast Football here on the Central Coast. Morning, Darren.
Hey, how you going, guys?
We're great, mate. What do you make of this incident? I know there's a lot we can't say, but it's a pretty full-on story from over the weekend.
Yeah, it's not a great look for our game. Yeah, it was quite an unsavoury incident that happened on Sunday, and, something, as you mentioned, we're going through an investigation right now, and the police are doing their investigation as well, so can't talk about the specific incident, but yep. it wasn't great.
Look, mate, the reason we wanted to talk about it this morning is to more highlight the fact that this needs to change and this needs to stop. So, you know, if there is players going to a game on the weekend who are thinking about playing outside of sportsmanship, I mean, what do we say to these people? What do we say to these players to clean up the game and get it back to being a bit of fun?
Well, yeah, look, it's something that we can't tolerate, and it's also damages sport, whether it's our sport or park sport. We need... referees and match officials to make the game work, and we're at a crisis. You know, we're a shortage of referees numbers. You know, we're every Monday morning I get complaints from people saying we don't have official refs to ref our games, and things like this don't help my recruitment campaign to get more referees out there on a weekend to referee park football.
I definitely feel like some players as well take umpires and refs for granted. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a tough job. Even paying some of these people, it's a job that people might not necessarily want to do, but they do it for the love of the game and to keep the sport alive, because without them, the game doesn't go ahead.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, most of them are people who have played the game or have been parents of people who have played the game, and they're doing it because they enjoy the game, or they want to keep fit, or they want to be around the field on the weekend. They're not looking to go out to get abused or to get set upon by people and so forth. So, you know, like, without them, the game doesn't happen. So we need to do what we can to protect them and to entice more people to do it. And things like this just don't help with that.
And how's the ref that did get punched? How's he doing?
Yeah, he was released from hospital on Sunday night. And I spoke to him Sunday night, and then I sat down with him yesterday. He's physically better, but you know, he's not doing too well emotionally, and we're helping him work through that right now.
Hey, Darren, just quickly, I know we talk about it here and hopefully we can help sort of prevent these situations happening again, but if you're playing locally, maybe you're spectating and you see that it starts to get a bit heated, what do you suggest people do to sort of disarm the situation?
Yeah, look, they just need to take a check of their emotions. You know, look, it is a game of football, and it's, I understand it's passionate and people playing for competition, but in the end, it's a game of football. You know, it's not life and death. We just need to, cool down a little bit and understand we're out there on a weekend to enjoy ourselves. We all got jobs during the week, and it's what we do. So we just need to, take check of our emotions and think about our actions, I guess.
Well, look, Darren, it's incidents like this we don't like to see in our game or in local sports, but, you know, we can use it as a highlight to get better. And it's great to hear that the ref in that situation is doing better after you saw him the other day, and we appreciate your time this morning.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Good
thanks,
on you, Darren. Mate. Darren Sprod, CEO of Central Coast Football, right here on the coast. All right, Beck in Terrigal. Keen to play for $1,000 today on the show. Have you been to the Facebook and Instagram and got the letter and the potential answers?
Yes, I do. I have it already.
Beautiful.
That's $50, those clues that go up there, because we give five answers.
Yeah.
$50.
$10. $10 per question, $1,000 if you can get them all right. The rain is heavy, I can hear in the background there, if I bring the music down. It's raining pretty hard where you are.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, might make it a little tough to hear, so you just got to really tune in the best you can. So what's the letter we're working with today, G?
The letter M.
The letter M. Yeah. For Magneto. Okay. Okay.
I know, I was trying to think of a clue without giving anything away.
Okay, here we go.
Are you ready?
I am good to go.
Okay.
Time will start after the first question.
Beck from Terrigal. Starting with the letter M, name a male actor.
Mel Gibson.
A Central Coast suburb.
Mannering Park.
TV show. A fruit.
Mango.
Something you need to travel.
Puff.
A country. A verb.
Melt.
A bone.
Oh, there it is, on melt. Can give you melt on that one. We got 10. $20, $30, $40 into the bank account on that game.
Thank you.
It's tough on the spot, isn't it, mate?
Oh, it is.
Yeah, you get put on the spot and your brain starts to go into overdrive and it makes it tough. So anyone who manages to play and gets a decent amount of cash has played the game well. Look, you can come in from the cold at Harvey Norman Electrical, your heating specialist. You're going to need that today. If you're in the hunt for a new heater, then you need to get into Harvey Norman and check it out. We'll play it again, Alpha Bucks, tomorrow at CFM.
Get up with Gawndy and Ash Pollard, CFM.
About a year or so ago, I think it was, back when I hosted the show with Breezer, we had this guy on the show, which you saw on the news last night, and you're loving his name. So his name is Meow Ludo Disco Gamma Meow Meow.
Mouthful.
He's a different thinker. He inserted an opal card into his hand.
Genius.
He's trying to get rid of the... He's a modern-day genius, is what it is.
Because everyone forgets their opal card from time to time and gets stung or freak out going, oh, my God, I'm going to get done for not having my opal card.
Exactly.
He now, doesn't have to worry about it.
This was him telling us how he went about it about a year ago.
So I'm really interested to see how new types of technology can augment our lives.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this when A Mile from Dangerous Things was over in Australia last year, and he modified a card and put a new antenna on it and sent it back to me, and then I got a body mod expert named Joltron to come and insert it underneath my hand.
As you do, you get a body mod expert named Joltron to help you out with it. Now, he joins us on the show right now. He's back with us. Meow, meow. How you going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad yourself, man.
Yeah, we're good. Good to have you back on air. Hasn't all been smooth sailing for this experiment, has it?
No, it's actually been quite a lot of court appearances, but as most people are probably well aware, I've had a really good outcome.
Yeah, so tell us about that, because I saw you on the news last night. You were just walking out of court. What happened?
That's it. So in March, so I was charged under two offences, and in March, one of them, I got a Section 10, which is no conviction recorded.
And what's a Section 10, though? What does that mean?
Yeah, so basically I pled guilty to the charges. And I said, I don't dispute whether I'm modified or anything like that. And the judge basically handed down a Section 10, which means that it's the least severe penalty you can get, which is that no conviction was actually recorded.
Okay. And what do they say? What are they trying to hold against you, though? Fare evasion, not having your opal card, even though it's in your hand?
Yeah, so a big part of the debate was about whether it's considered a, quote, valid ticket, right?
Right.
And
right.
When we went into court this time, the judge is like, well, did he pay his fare? And no one disputed that. And then she went, well, I'm going to give him a Section 10 because it doesn't matter whether the plastic was on the card or not. He tried to pay his fare. He's not trying to game the system. He's using it in much the same way as anyone else, just a little bit cooler. And and then she chucked it out. So, yeah.
How did it come about, though? Like, did it not scan and then they were like, you haven't scanned your Opal card? How did they pick you out for this?
So basically, when I got the card implanted, the ABC ran a story and they contacted Transport New South Wales. And Transport New South Wales said that they won't allow it because part of the legislation, the Gazette, says that you're not allowed to tamper or modify the card because you don't actually own it. So you only ever rent your card. Well, you borrow your card from the government, basically, which I think is completely ridiculous. Like,
so you fully go up to a scanner. You go up to a scanner and it goes beep.
The whole deal.
Yeah. It's an Opal card. So we took the chip out of the Opal card, right? Now, under some parts of legislation, that would have been enough. The fact that I had the chip from the Opal card would have been fine, but there's another part which is called the Gazette, and in the Gazette it said you can't do basically anything to it. If you scribbled your name on the front of your Opal card, you could be fined under the same laws that I was.
It's interesting
that Andrew Constance, the minister, actually has commented on this and says that he respects the decision of the court and that potentially the law could change. So that's a great win if it does.
Yeah, it seems like it's just a ridiculous technicality, and I feel like Transport New South Wales are just standing in the way of the future, Meow Meow. Why are they doing this to us, mate?
I agree. And, you know, this is meant to be an innovation-focused government.
Yes.
At one point, Gladys Berejiklian actually said that she encouraged people to hack the Opal network however they liked. And then I hacked it and then I ended up in hot water.
And they didn't like it. Well, mate, look, I mean, Uber faced the same problems with taxis when that came in, and, you know, innovation doesn't come without its people knocking it back. And I said this to you last year, I love people that think differently and you're taking it to the next level. A year later, you've gone through the courts and all this kind of stuff. Do you feel like this is something where we could all be heading and we will have these kind of things, including our bank cards and everything?
I'd love to have my bank card in my hand.
In your hand. Like, is that a thing?
Yeah, I'm actually working on a project called VivoKey, which is aiming to do just this. So that will hopefully be out by the end of the year. And I think this technology is fantastic. It actually it removes the barrier between you and technology. So instead of carrying, you know, keys and a wallet full of cards and all this stuff, you can just walk around as a person and interact with technology. And I think that this is great because it actually makes technology something that's native that you interact with. You shouldn't have to carry all this stuff with you. And I'm looking forward to the freedom to be able to use this technology, but also for people that don't want it, the freedom for them not to have it. And I think this comes about with people like myself and everyone in the community sitting down and asking for sensible, forward-thinking legislation. And that only happens with cases like this that brings it to the forefront of conversation.
Well, look, mate, you've definitely got a fan in me, and I feel like I'm chatting to a modern-day Steve Jobs.
A trailblazer.
The way you look at this stuff, I mean, when you go down in the history books as Meow Meow Ludo Disco Gamma Meow Meow, they'll look back and go, that guy was ahead of his time, mate. And we appreciate you jumping back on with us here at CFM. If you keep these inventions coming up, we've got to somehow keep in contact with you and get you back on the show more. I love it.
That'd be great. I'm pretty easy to find. I've got a bit of a unique name, so it's not hard to track me down.
Yeah, you weren't hard to find again to get you back on air, mate. Appreciate the time.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks very much.
Let's go.
Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard, CFM.
If you've changed your hairstyle and been treated differently, because I, not so long ago, decided to go brown.
Yep.
Go brunette.
What led to the decision? Winter? Was it kind of a winter feel?
I had been blonde for, I think, about, I'm going to say 5 years.
Yeah.
And it had just been the same blonde, same kind of hairstyle for so long. I was like, nah, time for something different. So I went brunette. And before that, you know, not that people treated me rudely or anything, but I feel like the blonde is like a little bit distancing. I don't know.
In what way? What, they associate blonde with being not so
maybe smart? Yeah, I don't know.
Like legally blonde kind of style?
Yeah, I think so. Like, maybe people don't want to chat as much because they're like, what has she got to say? But ever since I've gone brown, I realised that females specifically have been so much nicer to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know. And I'm not 100% of like the science behind it, but I'm wondering if it's like, oh, blonde.
Is there any specific incidences or anything that you can...
I went to Erina the other day, went to the shops, and I was doing a bit of jean shopping because it's winter, it's cold. And I went up to the counter to buy some jeans. The girl behind the counter was so nice to me. And we started talking, struck up a conversation. I know her life story now. She invited me to go to the gym with her.
What about if she's just nice in general and it's got nothing to do with your hair? Had you been in there when you were blonde to see the same girl?
Not that specific girl. But I have had other instances happen after that. I was out in town the other night and brown hair, first time out since having brown hair, people were just coming up, dancing with me like, hey, how you doing?
Okay.
It's like, what is going on?
Again, it could just be nice people.
I don't know. Maybe I have a doppelganger that's got brown hair and they think I'm someone else.
Maybe it is a thing. I mean, I definitely have a type when it comes to...
Do you? Well, Jamie's, females?
Jamie's blonde and...
Pretty?
Yeah, you know, and so I guess that's what I find attractive.
So maybe I'm just running into more brunette...
Fans?
Fans.
Yeah, I don't know.
it's definitely a thing now. I wish I would have like fully done a science experiment and tested it.
Yeah.
You know, like when the celebrities go out in the fat suits and see how they're treated as a fat person?
Sure.
I wish I'd done that.
I reckon it's also one of those subconscious things where people don't even probably know they're doing it, but they might judge a blonde or whatever their preference might be. You probably even get people that... maybe they do think blondes are ditzy or something.
Maybe.
And they're just sort of...
Should I go back to blonde and then we'll do a proper science experiment?
I think you stood out more as a blonde, I got to say.
Is that what you're trying to say?
I think as a brunette, you kind of just sort of...
Humdrum.
Yeah, just sort of...
Coasting through the middle.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe you're just sort of not standing out as much.
Thank you. Wow. Righto.
Let's go to Star at your mind on 13, 12, 16. Now, Star, before you tell us about you shaving your head, do you think this is a thing, treating brunettes and blondes differently?
Absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely.
100%. Yeah, well, I'm a redhead and I get treated differently because I'm a redhead, so I totally get it.
Wow.
And when I had no hair, when I shaved it off, different again.
Okay.
People absolutely judge on your hair, 100%.
And so what hair did you have before and what hair do you have now?
So originally I had red curly hair and then I had dreadlocks, and I've had dreadlocks or a shaved head on and off for the last 20 years.
Yep.
And I get treated completely differently based on whether my head is shaved or whether I've got dreadlocks.
What do you think it is about a shaved head that gets people going, ooh?
Well, I think they either think that I'm a criminal or that I'm sick. That's usually the two reactions I get from people.
And what about when you had dreadlocks? What did they think then?
Well, obviously, they just assume that I smoke pot. So many people come up and ask me, Ken, do I know where to buy marijuana? Which I don't even smoke, you know?
Yes.
Definitely people do make judgments based on how you look, for sure.
And so many, I mean, you've just given us the absolute classic stereotypes there for those hairstyles. 13, 12, 16, there's more calls coming through. Do you get treated differently because of your hairstyle and has it happened to you?
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
And Gia is claiming to be treated differently since going brunette.
Yes, I think that women are being a lot nicer to me ever since I've been a brown-haired lady.
And is that a good thing? I mean, I guess it is.
Of course it is a good thing.
Not great for the blondes out there.
No.
Who are being discriminated against.
And it seems like the boys aren't liking the blonde because you're telling me that I look bland now that I'm brown.
No, it's a personal preference of mine. Because Jamie, she's blonde and that's it, mate. That's all.
No, but actually, now that you mentioned it, I don't think I'm getting as many looks in the street and stuff since I've been brunette.
I just think,
I need to go blonde again. It's not easy, Gaundy. It's hard.
When you were blonde, if for some reason it stood out more to me. I don't know what. It was kind of like...
A halo of blonde hair.
Exactly. And the brunette's kind of this winter
vibe.
What
have I done?
But the ladies are treating you differently. Let's go to Georgia at Arimba. Do you treat brunettes differently to blondes, Georgia?
I don't know if I'm treating them differently, as I know that a lot of my friends that are blonde are like the platinum blonde, and it's very hard to manage. So I know some people kind of find them... When you look at them, they think, oh, yeah, they're high maintenance.
Right.
Yes.
And they get looks. I've done the blonde to brunette, and then I've gone back to blonde, and then I've done all different colours. Like, I'm pink at then, so I get looks from that. But then the one thing that I get looks from is I have a undercut, and so I do all like the patterns and everything.
Oh, that's like the shaved under the at the top of the neck.
That was big when I was in high school. I had the undercut for a bit, yeah. I had the long hair, had the part in the middle, long hair, bit of an undercut, and we grew it so it could kind of go behind your ears, the hair.
But it's fashionable now for girls to get it.
For girls to get the undercut.
I really got it because my hair is so thick, and in summer it is really hot, and I've got half my head shaved with this undercut, and my hair is still thicker than most of my friends with half a head.
And how do you get treated differently now you've got the undercut?
I just get weird looks from it because I get different patterns in it, and then with I also, whatever colour hair I have at that moment, so my hair's pink at the moment, so I colour it pink, and it's just, I get quite weird looks from it because it's something that girls...
Well, you got a pink undercut.
I was going to say, maybe it's not necessarily the undercut. It's all of it.
Yeah,
so it's a bit of everything.
Okay.
I love it.
All right, well, thanks for the call this morning, Georgia. We appreciate that. Chloe's at the entrance. Chloe, are you treating brunettes differently to blondes?
No, I don't.
You don't? Okay. You treat everyone the same.
Thank you. That's great.
What's your situation? Have you found yourself in a situation being treated differently for hair?
My daughter, actually.
Okay. What's the go?
So I usually have long blonde hair, and
And my mum dyed it blue, pink, and purple.
Cool.
Right, blue,
and,
pink,
and all of a sudden, all of the people in my school wanted to, like, be my friend and be nice to me and, like me and,
You're so cool, Chloe.
You're like a trendsetter. Yeah. You know, you get the blue and purple hair and everyone wants the blue and purple hair. So that's the way to go about it. Let's go to Dolly at Parramatta this morning. We love people that listen to the show in Sydney. What happened with you, Dolly?
Hi, guys. Hello. It's actually Zoe.
Oh, sorry, Zoe. Dolly's a cute name too, though, right? Zoe.
I like that name.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah. I actually got my hair braided, so like kind of like cornrows, like an African-style braid. So, yeah.
Are you pale?
I'm not African.
You're not African. Okay. Yeah, and so what led to the braids? Why'd you go down that road?
Like, I had them, like, at high school, and I really loved them. I was like, oh, I wanted to get it done again. Just it's low maintenance. You don't have to wash it as much, brush it as much. You don't have to straighten or curl it, you know. Like, so it's good. So
okay.
I got it, but I wasn't really expecting people to act differently. So, like, people just give you looks all the time and, like, comment on it. And, like, it can be good and it can be bad. Like, sometimes people, like, tease you about it, give you shit about it, or other times they just, like, say they like it. So, you know.
Well, you can't please everybody. Yeah.
And so are you regretting the braids? You wish you could just go back to a boring, normal haircut like Gia's got?
No, I love my braids. I don't want to go back to it. Like, I love them. And like I said, it's so easy in the morning. I just wake up tied up and I'm ready to go. And I actually love it. Like, I really love the braids. But
well, maybe yeah, I'm the only one regretting my hairstyle choice.
You've got to do. Like, everyone that's called the show, and you included, you've just got to do you. Yeah, you know? If you're happy as the brunette.
Yeah, I'll just be walking down the street looking boring.
Yeah, you're boring.
But no, I'm a happy, boring person.
Being left alone and treated like every other boring person in the world. Thanks for your calls this morning on that one. Maybe we could send Zoe off, actually, to this Hunter Valley Wine Festival if you're keen to go,
That'd
Zoe.
That would be amazing. I would love that so much.
Yeah, we got some tickets this week. The annual Hunter Valley Food and Wine Festival. It returns May and June. It's showcasing the region's diverse wine and food culture. Tickets at Hunter Valley Wine Festival.com. That's it for the show today, guys.
Done and dusted.
We've got Callum Scott on the show tomorrow, so we're looking forward to that. And just take it easy with the rain today. And what I will say is if you've got dogs, make sure you...
We're waiting for Patch to come
he's
in
just
now.
Rocked up. Yeah, so with the storms he's got out, I had to send Bree Taylor around to pick him up. Is he coming in? Patch is somehow...
He's an escape artist. We think that he's broken a window or something and gotten out of your house.
Well, the house was fully locked up, so I don't know how he's got out. He's a Houdini, Patch. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a spare key.
Oh, here he comes.
Uses to... Patchy boy!
Patchy!
Come on in. Hey! There you are, buddy.
Oh, he's so excited.
Are you all right?
Poor thing. He was so stressed.
Thanks, Bree. Look after your dogs in the storm today. We'll catch you tomorrow, guys.
See ya.
Have a good one.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard. CFM.